peace in that land. Nothing but peace in that land. Nothing but peace in that land. Where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Nothing but peace in that land. Nothing but peace in that land. Nothing but peace in that land. Where I'm bound. I've got a savior in that land. I've got a savior in that land. I've got a savior in that land. Where I'm bound, where I'm bound. I've got a savior in that land. I've got a savior in that land. I've got a savior in that land. Where I'm bound. Amen. Let us give one another a big hug. Okay, let us all be seated. Amen. Now, as I was saying, you know, we have our brother Muthuzaf, who is from India, and also Johnson from Indonesia, to speak with us later. Let's now go to our Father in prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a great, great morning to be together, you know, to have such a wonderful opening, you know, to just welcome each and every one of us from all around, Lord. Father, Lord, this time, you know, let us gather here and be prepared, you know, to listen to your word and allow your word to convict our hearts, and let us go home fruitful, you know, and apply what we have learned in this class today. Father, Lord, I pray that you be with the speakers, you know, pray that they speak with conviction and through your word, Lord. Work through them, be with them, may your Holy Spirit guide them, and may your presence be with us as we come here to learn more about you, Lord. Father, Lord, bless this class, bless this time together. Father, we want to give all thanks to you, in just most precious name, amen. Amen. Good morning, brothers.
Morning.
It's great to see all of you here. Amen.
Amen.
I think after listening to Sean's message, me and Johnson were thinking, what are we going to teach? You know, he already convicted all our hearts. And he really challenged and encouraged all of us that how we need to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to focus on following the God who calls us friends. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Do we need a friend in our life?
Yes. Yes.
Can you all raise a hand, those who need a friend in our life? Amen? All of us need a friend in our life. Okay. Now, if I have to ask you another question, do we have at least one best friend in the church?
Yes.
That's great. And if you don't have one, hopefully, God is going to bless us to have lot and lot of new best friends in the church. Yeah. How about this? Have we invited, or have you been invited by one of your best friends to the church? Well, that's going to be something interesting that we're going to look at it. How God can make us, or how God can mold us to be those people who can invite our friends to the church. Or how we can be those people who can be those individuals, or who can be those inspiring disciples to be the real friends of one another. Not the friendship what world defines, but the friendship what God defines. Amen? Yeah. You know, very interestingly, there are 1.6 billion people who are active on the Facebook. And I'm sure we are one among 1.6 billion, isn't it? All right, there are, you know, 100 million people every day go on Instagram. Right? Amen? And we are many of them. Amen? Let me tell you, there are many people who commit suicide and get depressed are the ones who don't have someone to to whom they can pour out their hearts to. You know, that's why the Bible says that we need someone with whom we will be able to pour out all the things that we want to pour out. We can share all the deepest emotions of our life. We can talk anything that we need to talk, so that we can find the peace that God expects all of us to have. And that's why we all need a friend. You know, the theme passage is in John 15, verse 13 to 15. It says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends, Jesus says, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Imagine the God who never committed any sins, who died for the forgiveness of your sins, and who is resurrected to judge the whole world, offers his hand of friendship to you. Wow. Isn't that a great opportunity? We will be fooled if we don't accept that hand and be the friend of Jesus. You know, this particular verse that really convicted me, that I no longer call you servant because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friend. You know, I grew up in a Muslim family in India. And you know, this is the month where everybody prays, everybody fasts, and I used to do the same when I was about 10 or 12 year old. And I would finish the entire holy book in 1 month's time. Well, that's what I did all my life. I understood God as someone who is so above, who is a master, which he is. But at the same time, I realized that this is the God I have no access. I can't even relate. I can't even go to him because he is so above and so beyond my imagination or beyond my reach. But during 1992, there were communal riots in India, and my family got affected so much. You know, our house were broken. We were in front of thousands of people who wanted to kill us. And we were standing, or we lived in a refugee camp with me, my father, and my brothers for several days, and I didn't know whether anybody in my family is alive or dead. You know, when you go through the experiences like this, you become very numb. You feel, is God exist? You know, you feel that, where is God at this point of time? And I decided, no, I have nothing to do with the God who, you know, where people fight in the name of religion and many other things happen. And I literally didn't do anything. I didn't pray. I didn't do anything for years. But after a few years, one of my best friends invited me to the church. And on that day, he said, my sins will be forgiven. You know, that sounds weird if you're not a Christian, right? Your sins will be forgiven, right? And disciples started studying the Bible, and they started teaching me about the God who loves, and about the God who forgives, and about the God who calls all of us as his friends. That convicted my heart so much. You know, it is so important for all of us to really understand that what kind of God we have and how we can imitate from Jesus to be the best friends for the world. You know, I have two simple things to share. The first one is, the true friend will always be my side. And the second one is, true friend will ask me questions for my eternal security. You know, very interestingly, in India, all the moms, all the mothers get the worth or the value, you know, by cooking great food for their children. Okay, and I'm sure we all look for somebody to value us, isn't it? You know, somebody can appreciate something great in us. Or even when we look for someone else, we always want to see what value this person can bring. You know, women look for beauty. When they have the beauty, they feel That's the value in them. I see a lot of youngsters sitting here. You know, the young men see that how or what kind of education that I do, that can bring value to me. All the married men feels that if I can provide for my family, I will be valued. But very interestingly, when we see this passage in Luke chapter 23, verse 39 to 43, it says, one of the criminals who hung there insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly. We are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Let's think for a while. What value this thief brought to Jesus? Did Jesus see that this man who is dying on the cross with him can lead many churches, or can lead many ministries, or can create an impact in the world, or can save many souls because he's just dying on the cross? Jesus didn't see the value, but he saw the lost soul. And when he saw the lost soul, Jesus wanted him to be saved. You know, God loves us not because who we are or what we have done, or what kind of degrees or what kind of positions or what kind of things that we are going to achieve. God loves us because he calls each one of us as his friend. Your true friend is the one who doesn't see value, you know, who doesn't see what kind of the lovely gadgets that you have. He doesn't see what kind of education you have done or what kind of background that you come from. He sees the true worth in you, even you don't have any worldly possessions in life. Amen?
Amen.
You know, if God would have seen the value in us, we would not have been sitting here, right?
Yeah.
We were buried in our sins, isn't it?
Yeah.
We were dying with the things that we were involved in. But God chose and called each one of us as our friend. Let's think about it, brothers and sisters. Brothers, you know? Amen. Brothers here, we can talk openly, brothers. Right? You know, when we see the people in our colleges, in our schools, in our offices, before we invite them to church, or before we even share about God to them, do we see value in them, or do we see a lost soul? A true friend is the one who will not see the value, who will see the lost soul. You know, one of my best friends, as I was sharing, one of my best friends who invited me to the church, and we both were reaching out to another friend of ours. And when we were reaching out to another friend of ours, he comes from a Hindu family, and his family was not really excited for him to come to church, of course, for obvious reasons. And then what we would do is, we would call our friend from his house, and his family would realize that they are going to take him to the church. And then we'll tell him, all right, are you ready to go to church? He'd say, yes, I'm ready to go to church. And he won't have any money in his pocket to even buy the bus ticket. Then we would put the money into his pocket, and his family is running behind him. He is running ahead to catch the bus and go to the church. And this friend unfortunately decided after many years not to come to the church, because he was lost in the world and with many things. And we both decided, me and my best friend decided, that we have to reach out to this brother. And we organized a holiday for him. We took him out, we spent time with him, we reminded all the wonderful days and all the wonderful things that God had done in our life. He's still not been restored, but our prayers are that one day he will come back to church.
Yeah.
You know, a true friend always remains with you, no matter what you do, no matter what situations you are in. Think about it, brothers, that do we go an extra mile when we have to reach out to our brothers in the church? Or we go an extra mile itself, right? Think about it. Do we give our best when we have to meet the brothers, or we are just lost in our own world, or our own challenges, or our own difficulties, or our own life, or we go an extra mile to reach out to them? You know, when I see Jesus in this whole passage, you know, imagine at this point of time when Jesus is hanging on the cross. You know, he has gone through so much of pain and suffering already. But at that point of time, to give to someone is very difficult. When we have a long and a tiring day, we just want to come home and relax. And at this point of time, even though when Jesus is dying, he is so much caring about the soul that he needs to reach out. You know, brothers, true friend will always be on your side. We need to find the friends who will always be on our side. And we need to be those friends who will be always on the side of our people. Let's look at quickly into the second thing.
You know, even before we go there, the second thing that we want to talk about is the true friend who is going to ask you the question for your eternal security. Do you know which are the two professions in the world that asks maximum number of questions? Anybody? That's right. The lawyers and the auditors, okay, are the one who asks most of the question, and I belong to both the profession. You know, when we go and we ask hundreds of questions to get the truth out,
yeah,
right? To get the facts of the matter, we will ask questions after questions, and they give answer. We will ask questions of that answer, and question and question and question till we get the facts out, right? Have you thought about it? Did Jesus have some questions for us? Probably we also want to ask questions to Jesus. You know, God, how did you create me like this? Or, oh God, why you give me a life like this? Right? Why you didn't make me rich? Right? Why did you give me so much of pain? Why did you give me so much of trouble? Or even a question like, God, why did you save me? I'm so sinful. Why did you even save me?
But let me tell you that there are questions that Jesus wants to ask us. And these are in the Bible. And these questions are not easy questions.
Okay. You know, Jesus' questions
are very confrontational, as we see in the slide. Jesus' questions are very challenging. It's going to challenge our hearts. Jesus' questions are very humbling. It's going to make our hearts feel humble. And Jesus' questions are very personal. It's not very superficial. It's very personal. It's going to go too deep. You know, we're going to look at one of the questions that Jesus asked. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 17. And the Bible says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." You know, when Jesus asked a question, what the world says, everyone responded. Right? One person said, "Oh, you're Jeremiah." Another person said, "Oh, you are John the Baptist, or you are a prophet." But Jesus, thank you for answering that. Who do you say I am? Right? It's very easy for us to say that this is what the world says. Or even this is what the Bible says. But the question that Jesus asks us today, who do you say I am? You know, if Jesus was here and he would ask you the same question, what would be our answer? It's something to really think about, brothers. You know, who do you say I am? Right? Will we say just like the way Peter answered that, Lord, you are the Messiah, the Son of the most living and high God? Or we'll say, Lord, probably you're not the one. I have many more things in my life. Our life will speak more than our tongue, brothers. Who do you say I am? You know, Jesus' questions are not very generalized, but Jesus' questions are more personalized. It goes deeper in our hearts. He doesn't ask the questions that are at a very superficial or at a very high level. Jesus' questions are the question that is going to convict our hearts. If Jesus is our Lord, you know, we will be able to live our life in a much incredible way. You know, when Jesus is our friend is not the one who is going to ask a very, very simple question to us. You know, I remember in my life, you know, one of my disciples, after the devotion, we would sit down for our personal D time where we would share about our lives, and he would ask me a question. He would ask, how are you, brother? He would look into my eyes and ask, how are you, brother? And I'll tell you, that question I've never answered that I'm fine. Right? Most of the people, when they will meet, how are you? Yeah, I'm fine, I'm doing well, and everything is going fine. But we have a friend who is going to look into our eyes and ask, how are you, brother? For which we can say, well, I'm not doing fine. I have this sin in my life that I need to deal with. Or I have this problem. Or I have this relationship. Or I have this struggle. Or I have this unconfessed sin. Or I have this biggest burden in my life that I'm carrying for so many years and so many days. A true friend is the one who is going to ask us the questions for our eternal security. Do we have those friends in the church who is going to go deeper in our hearts? Or are we those friends, you know, who is going to ask those questions to one another? And I'll tell you, brothers, only these questions will help us to stay close to God. It's not any of those questions, what happens in the world, is going to keep us eternally secure. But the questions that are deeper, and let me tell you, the true friend asks some deeper questions. You know, this is one of the questions two men at different occasions asked Jesus. That what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I believe this is what the question that we have, right? That what should I do? You know, what I'm doing right now in my life, apart from that, what should I do to inherit eternal life? You know, the first one in Luke 10 is the time, and that's where the parable of the Good Samaritan is there. And then the other one is the rich young ruler asked that question. And the first one, Jesus said to this man that you need to start loving others if you want to inherit the eternal life. And in the second one, Jesus asked that individual to stop loving money. You know, what would be the challenge for us today? What would Jesus ask us to start something today? And what would Jesus ask me to stop something? You know, maybe Jesus would ask me today to start making that bold step when I'm lacking in my sharing of faith. Or Jesus would ask me to stop the world of pornography that I struggle with. Or Jesus would ask me to start having my quiet time today, every single day. Or Jesus would ask me to hate the brother that I have a troubled relationship with. You know, there is always something what God wants us to start. And God wants us to stop every single day in our life. You know, when I became Christian, and I was really excited to go and share my faith with many people. And one day, I was just evangelizing on the streets in Mumbai, and I met a guy. And I told him, hey, we have a very special program in the church. Do you want to come and join? He said, all right. Then I introduced, my name is Murtaza. And he said, do you know what is my name? And it was not a pleasant conversation because his name was Muhammad. And he says, you want to invite me to church? Okay, I want to invite you to some other place. And then we had a great conversation, but that was not the best pleasant conversation, because after that conversation, when I reached home, my family was not very pleasant with me. You know, they realized that what has happened to him, or what is going to happen to him. The whole night, my family locked me in a room. They were beating me. And one of my brother got up and he spat on my face. And that made me realize that it is extremely, extremely difficult time of your life when someone makes you feel that you are the dirt that nobody wants. I left home, I ran away next day, you know, and went to the church. And when I went to the church, and guess, in the first row, that same person is sitting whom I had invited. Right? They chased me for 6 months. They called my home, they gave a lot of threatening calls, they wanted to take charge of me. But God was so faithful that after 6 months, everyone disappeared. You know, nobody could do anything. Then afterwards, after 2 years of being a Christian, I joined the ministry. And then the second blow comes, your family. He said, okay, fine. You wanted to go to the church. Now, why you want to leave the world and everything in it and wants to join the full-time ministry? And then I joined the ministry. My whole family came to the brother's flat and they wanted to take charge of me. They wanted to take me home. And finally, I was very determined that this is what I want to do in my life. And then when I was getting married, probably at that point of time, my whole family realized that this is the time that the whole world will know that I am a Christian or I am a disciple. They never wanted me to get married in the church. But we got married in the church. And after many years of perseverance, you know, my family is very happy with us. It's not because what we have done, but it's just because what God has done through us. You know, God is our friend, brothers. If you really acknowledge that friendship, if we really acknowledge that what God has done for us in our life, that can change and transform our life. You know, God is always going to be there with us, no matter what situation you are in. Either you go through the most difficult time, either you go through the most painful time of your life, or if you lack many things in your life, you know, Jesus is always going to hold your hand. He's never going to leave you at any point of time. You know, we need those friends, and we need to be those friends to others who is going to remain with each other forever. We also need those questions that we need to ask others, and we need someone else to ask those questions to us so that we can be eternally secure. We'll find many types of people in the world, brothers. You know, people who are sad, people who are depressed, people who are going through many challenges, Let's think about it, that how we can be their friends. Just the way Jesus was the friend of Paul. On the cross, Jesus did not differentiate, right? Even at that point of time, he was willing to give, he was willing to serve, he was willing to save that soul. And when he was in the ministry, Jesus never hesitated to ask questions. If Jesus asked the questions to us, what would be our response? Are we going to be those friends to one another who is going to ask those deeper questions for our eternal security? Mm-hmm. Amen? I would invite Johnson to come and share.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Arthur. Amen. Still fired up?
Yes.
Amen. My name is Johnson Sibuya. I have confession. This is the first time I preach in English. So if I make mistake, please forgive me. Amen. Okay, it's an honor. Amen. It's an honor to having opportunity to talk in front of you. This is God's family. Amen. My name is Johnson, and nowadays me and my wife leading the church in Surabaya. Surabaya is the second largest city in Indonesia. Now the church almost 300 disciples. We also oversee another six churches in East Java. This is my family. Amen. My son Leonard, 18 years old. And my daughter Leonie, my son already baptized 2 years ago, and last March, my daughter also baptized. Wow. Amen. Amen. Thanks for God. Amen. Do you remember the day that you got baptized?
Yeah.
If you remember, it's very exciting day, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it true?
Yeah.
It's an awesome day, right?
Yeah.
Why? Because we feel loved by God, right?
Yeah.
God forgive our sin. It's a very exciting day, right? And also we see the brothers who help us to become disciples. We have a lot of friends. I think that's a very exciting day in my life. Amen. Now. Let's see the Bible. Proverbs 18, verse 24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know, for me, it's not easy to figure out this verse, because before I'm a disciple, my parents had a financial problem when I was in high school. Because we have a financial problem, it caused us had to live in the slum area in Jakarta. So we live with many kind of bad people. And it's very difficult to trust people around us. Very difficult. It's very difficult. That matter makes me have no trust to anyone. It's not easy for me to trust people. I have no friend. I was lonely and have nowhere to go. No dreams. Every day just think how I can survive in this place. It's tough, but lucky me, 1992, so one brother invited me to church and study Bible with me, and I got baptized. I've been thought about Jesus, who willing to make a sacrifice to me, and then redeem my sins, and Jesus won't walk with me every time. This is the new chapter in my life. Amen.
Amen.
I also witness brothers and sisters in the church. They care for me. I can trust them. They are sincere. Different with the people around me and my neighbor. Very different. They help me. They love. You know, since I got baptized, I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends in the church. I have a big family. I can trust them. After baptized, I understand what the verse said. But there is a friend who sticks closer than brother. Amen. And you know, after my baptism, I was very excited. And church planned to start the church in the Tubedan. It's the third planted church in Indonesia, the third largest city in Indonesia. So the leader said, "Who want to go to the mission team?" I raised my hand, but I never thought to lead the mission team. Because only 1 year my baptism, no experience, right? My Bible knowledge also is not really deep. But when they asked me, I said, "Are you want to go to the mission team?" I said, "Yes." But do you want to lead the mission team? I said, "No." Because this is my hometown. Medan is my hometown, and I know the people there very, very, very. Yeah, many of Medan people here, right? Right? Straightforward, right? And then, but the leader said, why are you afraid? Because I said, the people in Medan is very harsh. Same with me. But he said, no, Jesus will be with you. And then I decided to go to lead the mission team. That's a great story in my life. And then I just tell them, in my mind, just think about, I want to tell them how God loves me, how God changed my life. I find a lot of friends in this church. This is my family. I want to introduce my family to the people in Medan. And I went to Medan. God help us. I found a lot of people who wants to be disciples. I want to share three of them. This one, Edison and his wife. I was studying Bible with him when he was just after he played gambling and he lost his money. And then very discouraged, and one brother invited him to church. He come to church. He find friend, he study Bible, he become a disciple. Amen. You know, the good things now he, after he become disciple, he decide to go to mission team. You know, now he leading one church in East Indonesia. Amen. He's in this conference. The second one is Sudirman and Menti. This brother, when I found him, he came to church. One brother bring him to church and spend life with him. I talk with him, and he have a lot of problem because he must take care of his family, have financial problem. So I talk about my family also. So become easy to close for us, right? I can understand how he feel about financial problem. He study Bible, got baptized, and then he remember tsunami in Indonesia. In Aceh, when the tsunami happened, also in Aceh, and also happened in Nias. Nobody go to Nias because Nias is not a famous place in Indonesia. So everybody go to Aceh, but to Nias is very rare. So Sudirman came from Nias. Nias is his hometown, and then he decided to help people in Nias. To help the people who got attacked by the tsunami. And then he invite also people to study the Bible. Now he leading the church in Nias. Nias church now almost 100 disciples. Amen. It's very good because Sudirman, he didn't even graduate from high school. But God used him. If God used Sudirman, can use Sudirman, God can use our life to share, to be a friend to the lonely world. Amen? The third one. This is Awien Ita. When I went to Medan, I studied Bible with him. He is my brother-in-law. He is a Buddhism background. And then I studied Bible with him. Actually, at that time, he hate Christian. He told me Christian is very arrogant religion. Because many times his friend who are Christian always said, you must be Christian so you become saved. So he didn't like Christian. And then he studied Bible, become Christian because he liked the relationship in the church. Many brothers, and he liked to loving. He's one of a joker in the church. Now, you know, he never know about Christian, but now he's very good leader in the church. Now he leading a Medan church. I moved from Medan to Surabaya. Now he become the leader of the church. Now church almost 500 disciples. Not only that, he also oversee another 8 churches in Sumatra. So all the group, almost 1,000 disciples. Can you imagine people like him become a leader like that? You know, brothers, a lot of people lonely in this world. That's why God needs us. You see the verse in Acts 1 verse 8. Can you read the Bible? Can you read our Bible? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus gave command to the disciples to be his witnesses. Amen? And go to everywhere. Now we see the people around us, they are lonely, no friend. But the question is, are we ready to be a friend for them? Let's be a friend to the lonely one. Amen. Thank you.